Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org, so there's a plethora. There's a lot of data and content, and if you don't find enough there, then please let me know, because you should be able to garner from MobiStripPress.com and ReclaimingTheRepublic.org regarding republicanism and how to reclaim the republic, or what we need to do, at least getting the dialogue started for you. And one of the things that I need to do to get the dialogue started, period, is put you on air, and so we're there. So you can call in at 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK for those people that have no problem transposing letters to numbers. And as always, if you are going to call in, please remember my three C's. And those three C's are: be confidential if you know me by name. I go by GR. And so be civil. That's the other C. And the third and final C is be concise. If you can get to your point, then it gives me more time to be able to either provide you data, answer your questions in a concise manner as much as I possibly can, and allow other people or you to have another question, rebuttal, or what have you. So anywho, only got an hour, and so what we want to do is try to make the most of our time and be efficient and effective. I have a question. If you can give me a good justification, or can you tell me where in the Constitution does it guarantee that we have a protection of religious freedom? This is a good and deep conversation if you want to delve into it. One group that I want you to be aware of that I support, and I will probably have them on the air a few times this year, and that is Aaron Tilbury of the Jonah Project. Why? If you understand, I ask you to go to thejonahproject.org and take a look at what they're doing. Aaron got into this situation where he started literally saving kids from sex trafficking and so forth, and come to find out he was completely blindsided, as well as I, as to how many kids and how big this network is and how it goes from San Diego up to Seattle, across to Chicago. It's a nationwide network that is literally moving and trafficking human beings for the intent of this sex industry, or prostitution, what have you. And the way these if you want to understand a little more about this, I have him on my podcast page. Just go to my podcast archives on Reclaiming the Republic, and you will be able to kind of see the process of what happens to these kids to basically break them, bring them in, and then when they're done, they dispose of them. And 9 times out of 10, that means literally dispose of the human life that was completely lost by, you know, this process and these people. And so I do try to support them. And if there, if there's something that you may be passionate about or share the passion with, there are plenty of things that we can get engaged in. The only thing I try to focus on is stopping or killing the Leviathan that is the tyrannical government, not the Constitution, not we the people. We are the government, as you know. The political power, the people are the fountain of political power. And so that's why I started off teaching you about this in my very first shows. And that's why I keep on saying that you need to download my podcast so you understand all this content and why this is really important for you to know, because I need you to become myopic in focusing what needs to be done to your representatives so that they know concisely what they should be doing in representing you and supporting their oath of their political, or not political, but their official elected office or position that they hold, because that should be supporting and defending the Constitution. I believe it's the very first thing that they have to swear an oath to. So without lingering more, I will talk more about the Jonah Project as I get something scheduled with Aaron to come on. He's a hero, because here's a guy that goes in and confronts literally death because these people are willing to die to protect their revenue source and their commodities, which is human life, folks, if you don't understand this. And so they're willing to use whatever force necessary. So he takes a huge risk in going in and trying to save kids. And he runs a few houses out of the Spokane area. He needs help in running these houses because this is 100% charitable organization. They do not have any administrative overhead. At least at this point, I keep telling him that he has to have something because people get tapped out on, you know, just giving, 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 and giving. And I get it that we need to give, but there are some things that needs to actually have some level of administration and function. And I just think that this is one good cause for people to get involved in blessing other people. And I truly believe that when you help and bless other people, the Lord will bless you as well. I think it's that karma thing. Isn't that what they call that? Anyway, that's definitely not the Christian term. I have been focusing a lot on the Department of Justice as one of the many 12 unconstitutional departments that we're living under in this federal tyranny. And so I'm not necessarily going to go into any of these at all today. As a matter of fact, I know I've been listing them and you know what they are if you've been listening. Today I'm going to shift gears and what I want to cover and why I, you know, want to basically state an argument why other states, and more specifically, I will list these states, but why specific states and every single state in this republic should be listening to this show. I am on record for not wanting to be a professional radio show host. I am on record for strictly donating this time and trying to help and trying to get, you know, some other types of support. Your support would be great. Getting involved would be great. That to me is the, if you want to call it the actualization or the justification and or the support that, you know, helps me kind of feel good that other people are coming on board and that this is not just a, you know, a slow moving snowball down a very, shallow grade. Anyway, Utah, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Alaska are the seven states that really need to be listening to this show so that we can have an open dialogue regarding the 17th Amendment. Why are these states so specific? I'll get into that. However, every state in this union has, I believe, an interest in this, especially all the red states specifically in this particular interest, as well as a second interest. So I'm going to get into two different topics today, and you know, may the Lord bless me with enough time to be able to cover all of these. Let's first start off with those aforementioned seven states. These states are the only states, except for Hawaii. I don't count Hawaii because if Hawaii wakes up, they're going to quickly ratify the 17th Amendment. But these seven states are the states that rejected the 17th Amendment. And so, not sure if you understand the history of the 17th Amendment, and I don't think anybody really understands the 17th Amendment because they understand the election part of it and the, how it modified Article 1 of the Constitution. But this little part that most people don't know, even the people that proposed this amendment, I do not believe they understood the Constitution. I just believe that somebody guided them to say, all you need to do is change Article 1 in how senators are selected to serve in the Senate. And therefore, they created this proposal that went forward into an amendment, and it went out to the states for ratification and was supposedly ratified. And there's a really good book. I think Bennett wrote the book. It was about the challenging of the 17th Amendment or the validity of the ratification process. And I can get into that as soon as we get back after we have a few words from our sponsors. So please stay tuned, and I will delve into this more when we get back. Thank you so much. Rippey Homes is a family-owned business that has been building homes in the Spokane area for over a decade. For years, they've offered their customers an array of construction projects and services, but due to market demands, they now exclusively focus building high-efficiency homes and business offices, offering custom turnkey solutions for customers seeking to save money on operational costs while enjoying the latest innovations and construction technology. They understand many of these features can be expensive, but this is why they work closely with a team of leading designers to integrate the details and options that suit your needs. When it comes to translating designs into reality, the artisans they employ make this happen. If you're interested in building a cutting-edge dream home or office, then contact Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of Liberty. Thank you. Hey, folks, it's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I have learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Vaughn Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money on just any good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist like Dr. Vaughn Tracy. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Vaughn Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I ask you to give Dr. Vaughn Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And I'd left off with the amendment that was proposed by the 62nd Congress in 1912 and was adopted in 1913 through this supposed ratification process. And like I said, Bennett, I believe, wrote a book that questions two states in their processes. One was Oregon, and I forget what the other one was, but I believe both of these states refused to seat the incoming Republicans who were going to stop the ratification of these, and they held on to during the ratification process in the new year of holding those seats over by Democrats before they replaced them. And that was a constitutional violation, that the people had spoken in the election that those seats were to be changed because they wanted representation, not to ratify that. And believe it or not, the liberal state of Oregon was one of those that recognized the threat of the 17th Amendment, and they were going to reject it. However, those few seats that were held, and it passed by that small of a margin in Oregon. And I believe it was the same case for this other case, or this other state. And I believe Thomas Woods even talks about this, and I think Gutsman as well, Kevin Gutsman. I don't want to get into the minutiae or what, the details on this, other than the facts. And those facts are that when the 17th Amendment was ratified, it just moved forward, and people presumed that it made a wholesale change to the Constitution. And I'm here to tell you, it didn't. Those people did not understand, and they did not know what the heck was going on. And so there were some late swingers in the ratification process, by the way. So I want to point this out. Alabama ratified it in 2002, and I'll bet you now they're regretting this for ratifying, because we've seen how the globalists are literally taking over and sending in all sorts of money, just like recently, into throwing money into the Senate seats, where these seats should be appointed because they should be representative of the sovereign, which is the state, not the people. And so Delaware was the next one in 2010. After rejecting this, and this is the big king, I'm going to come back to this, in March 18th, 1913, Delaware actually rejected this, and they decided to change their mind and position and ratified it in July 2010. Maryland came along and ratified it in 2012, and Rhode Island in 2014. And so we had more states that kind of piled on. The most important things that we need to understand are these two points. And the first point is the swinging door. When Delaware decided to change their position from rejecting the amendment to ratifying it in 2010, that created a precedence of ratification. What happened is they were allowed to change their position. Well, guess what, folks? Courts don't allow things to just go one way. If the door is going to swing and they accepted their ratification process, that means that other states can now reject it if they so choose. The state legislatures have the power to vote. And as a matter of fact, the state of Utah in 2016 voted that they wanted the 17th Amendment repealed. You get this? They already rejected it, and now they're asking to have it repealed. And here's the other thing. This is the second point. So the door swings both ways. And per Article 5 in the Constitution, there's this little thing that many people gloss over. This little thing is what I or others refer to as the Amendment Protection Clause. Have you ever heard of that? Probably not, unless you're familiar with the different clauses of the Constitution. And this is in Article 5. And this clause states, provided that no amendment, so this is all about, Article 5 is about the amendment process and how amendments are to be moved and into the Constitution. So as you understand, Congress can recommend an amendment with two-thirds, both houses passing, and then it would be forwarded to the states to be ratified, or the states can convene a convention. We've talked about this. But at the very end of all of that, there's this little clause called the Amendment Protection Clause. And it states, again, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article. What that means is that they were making sure that the South, and with any type of collusion that they could buy or create, would try to pass an amendment that would modify the elimination of the slave trade. And I've talked about that as well. So that they actually put in the Constitution a block, a wall that says you cannot amend this one thing out. And so that's how adamant, and most people miss this. There's your evidence right there that the majority of the framers who signed into this, and it was a political compromise, that they were adamant about ending the slave trade and they wanted to end slavery, period. So there's a little bit of evidence for you if you didn't know this. But the last part of this little protection clause states, and so if I just read and skimmed over that and I started off again and said, provided that no amendment which be made that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So what does that mean? What is suffrage? Does anybody understand suffrage? It's your ability to vote. And so the argument is that a state has to give its consent to lose its suffrage. Now, the framers could not fathom that the Senate would be anything other than the representation of the states, and that the states would be voting to basically dictate the appointments, ratifying amendments and those types of things, not amendments, ratifying treaties and those types of things. Well, they'd have to basically still pass amendments, a two-thirds rule. But my point is that the Senate was the body of representation of the states. They would never have fathomed that we would even consider moving to a unicameral or having just basic representation of the people, because the people do not understand the issues that the states are dealing with. I mean, most people don't even understand what their county and their local community is dealing with. They just go to work and come home, and as long as they don't put extra stop signs in their route so that they can get to work, you know, at the same rate of speed and time, then they're okay with their local government. And that's really sad, and that's got to change, because your local government is being taken over by these globalists who are pushing the Agenda 21. And I know there's a show on this station or on Red State Talk Radio about the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. I work with Tom DeWeese, who is the president of the American Policy Center, and he'll actually be on next week, I believe Tuesday. He'll be calling in talking about his new book that will help educate you more about what's going on with the Agenda 21, 2030 and how to get involved with that. And so the point is that the suffrage done by the states was lost. It was taken. However, that little protection clause that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So in other words, those seven states that rejected it, they don't have to abide by the 17th Amendment. Why? Because the 17th Amendment did not change Article 5. It only changed Article 1, which means the means of how the senators are to be selected. Well, the way they changed that literally took the suffrage away from the states and gave it to the people. Well, so here's the problem when you let people that don't understand the Constitution go to office and they start passing laws. They create laws that are actually in violent conflict with each other. And this is a perfect case of that. The 17th Amendment is in violation or in conflict with the Article 5 Amendment Protection Clause. And so we're up to a hard break. So we'll get more into this and why this is so important and what we can do in the plan moving forward and why these other states need to be a part of this show. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. So stay tuned and thank you very much. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way, we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. Rippey Homes wants you to know the process from start to finish in building your custom home can take up to 2 years, especially if you're looking for real estate and have not settled on the design of your home. There are a lot of details in each step of this process and a plethora of options in the Passivhaus designs that Rippey Homes specializes in. If you want to get your custom home done right, then working with the Passivhaus experienced builder with an unmatchable reputation, then you need to contact Rippey Homes. Again, the process can take a long time, so getting the lead time and learning your options as well as getting into the schedule will help you get that much closer to obtaining your dream custom home. So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. That number to dial in is 215-TALK-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so I was just talking about this this problem that we have, and I'm not sure if you understand this, so let's go into this a little bit more regarding the 17th Amendment. And if you do the analysis, and don't take my word for it, by all means, do the research for yourself. But if you do the analysis on the Constitution, I should say this 17th Amendment to the Constitution and the debates of the 17th Amendment, then you will actually find that Congress and the Senate, the U.S. Congress and the U.S. Senate, when they debated the 17th Amendment on the floor in their official records, they did not once, and now let me repeat this, they did not once mention the effect of the Article 5 Protection Clause, that Amendment Protection Clause. In other words, they didn't mention that this also supersedes the protection clause that states, if this is ratified, states will lose their suffrage in the Senate. all states. They didn't stipulate anything about the 17th Amendment, or I should say how it made any other changes other than to Article 1. So if you kind of understand this, then this goes to something that you may not know. Madison and Sherman, when they were debating the Bill of Rights, they actually debated on where the amendments were to go. Madison believed that the amendments should go into the body of the Constitution. That way, it completely clarifies what is to be affected and what is not. So the changes are made to the Constitution, removing whatever text that needs to be removed and inserting whatever text needs to be inserted. And that's how amendments were to be done per Madison's recommendation. Sherman thought, well, are you kidding me? We don't have computers. We don't have Xerox capabilities. And that would just make it untenable for us to, you know, constantly keep up. But Sherman was under the impression that there would have probably been lots of amendments coming forth because maybe he perceived that the Constitution was a little bit deficient in some things. But that didn't happen, folks. I mean, we've only got 27 out of over 200 years. Come on. How hard would it have been to force them to create the precise text that would have to go in and replace what have you? And so Madison was brilliant in understanding what needed to occur. Nonetheless, in debating and discussing precisely what this amendment was to do, guess what? They did not even mention how this would affect that amendment protection clause. What they should have done, if they really wanted all states to have to participate in losing their suffrage and basically handing it over to a democracy type of process of, you know, majority rules or what have you, then there you go. So what would have been really smart if states would have then countered this and said, you have to provide a 2/3 majority of votes. In other words, we don't send a senator replacement unless we have 2/3 of the people on board with who that senator is going to be, instead of the mob rule 50% plus one, because that is dangerous when we allow ourselves to be swung to and fro by a mob rule or a democracy. And the framers absolutely understood this. And so as we move forward, we can actually get into understanding just what this analysis and what this problem actually created. In doing this, though, what I am suggesting, and so here is the plan, because of this conflict, this problem that was created by the 17th Amendment by not changing or making the wholesale removal of that last stanza in Article 5, because that thing still exists, we have a conflict with the law itself. So what I recommend is the state of Utah, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, South Carolina, Virginia, and Alaska as legislatures, have your legislatures stop allowing the elections of senators and actually start appointing their replacement senators so that the states regain their suffrage in the Senate. This obviously is going to create some ruffled feathers because the Soros communists in each of these states will rise up and say, hey, you can't do this. This is a violation of the 17th Amendment. However, it's, again, you can point to the conflict that you're not bound by that because you did not give your consent. You rejected this. In addition, those states that are looking in the winds, such as probably Alabama now, such as I know Oklahoma, Texas, and several other states are looking to undo this. Wyoming would be one. I would think Idaho would be one. I would think that the Dakotas would be others. And if you understand what would happen is if this pushed forward, who has jurisdiction? Here's the big question. Who does have jurisdiction over something like suffrage in the Senate? That would probably be Congress, maybe, but ultimately it would be the states because the states could easily step in and say, hey, or Utah should appeal to the other states and say, hey, look, or all of these seven states should be appealing to the other 43 states and go, look, we didn't realize what this meant in the back end of this Article 5. And we've done the due diligence and we believe that we've been duped and we've only been following this for years and years because we believed in who was duping us said that we had to do this. But as we look at this now, we don't see that we're bound by having to do this. Therefore, we're not going to do this. In addition, we would invite several other states to start taking advantage or exploiting the precedent that was set by Delaware by being able to change their position on a constitutional amendment. And we would invite you to begin to reject the 17th Amendment. And guess what would happen when we had 13 or more states reject the 17th Amendment? It would go away. It would literally go away. And those states that would not be appointing and they continue to do elections, like California might be one of those states, they would be an abject failure. So those senators would not necessarily need to be seated until they followed the Constitution. Now, granted, there may be appointing case where the Senate may not appoint, or I should say seat senators. However, that becomes a real, and that's where this needs to be pushed. This needs to be pushed, folks. This needs to be a part of the battle. And I'm just saying that the federal government has no qualms in dragging a state through the courts. Just look at Arizona alone. Arizona has been dragged through the courts over them trying to support the Constitution and upholding the federal laws, where the federal government was basically saying, you can't, we want to obfuscate this whole thing, and we want to allow these illegal immigrants to be able to come in through your southern border. When Obama decided to drag them into court and sue them over them stepping in and enforcing immigration laws, because the federal government wasn't doing it, they weren't paying for it, nor should they have been, because that would have been a violation of the Constitution in itself. You have to uphold the law. The president does not get a chance to cherry pick. His oath is to execute the laws faithfully and not to cherry pick and choose what laws he wants to subvert and change. Nor does it state in his oath that he can legislate with executive orders. And so that brings up a very current and hot topic. Looks like Trump is looking to possibly push for making changes to gun ownership and the right to bear arms. He's buying into, because he's a populist president, he's buying into what the populace wants. And he's thinking and hearing the clamoring that, oh, people want the Second Amendment, you know, amended or changed or, you know, deleted altogether. That's not good, folks. That is not good. And that's not what we want, especially out of an executive. So this is one of those points that kind of comes up during Trump's presidency that I say, this is the problem when we elect somebody that really does not understand the Constitution. And so, again, if we go back, and so I'm going to get into this other part, but as the battle amongst the states on the 17th Amendment moves across the Republic, many other states who are tired of Soros and globalists will start buying into this concept to keep them from buying their representatives and their suffrage in the Senate. And that's precisely why the Senate is so, how do you say, corrupt? Absolutely, it's corrupt. John McCain is one of the most, he's the epitome of corrupt. Him and Schumer, all of those longtime senators, they need to be replaced. I just can't believe that they're still in, considering all the crud that they've done. But I'm up to a hard break, folks. So if you please stay tuned, we'll be right back and I'll wrap this up and get into some Republicanism.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals. But do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
Thousands of people each month are moving to what is referred to as the Redoubt area. That's R-E-D-O-U-B-T. If you're tired of insane liberal policies and you have a growing concern in the ideological makeup of your community, you should do what many others are doing and look into joining us here in the Redoubt area. If you settle on moving to the Spokane area, you need to contact Rippey Homes to help you develop the ideal solution that can help you reduce your operational costs and reduce your dependence on the nation's aging infrastructure. Rippey Homes offers a full package service, including real estate, Passive House designers with an array of options to help you blend in with your surroundings. Why risk what is important, your family and your home? So check out Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com. That's Cameron Rippey at cgrippey.com in the heart of the Redoubt country. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and MobiStripPress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states, in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. So before I move on to republicanism and the American, I should say, definition of republicanism, let me point this out one more time, and I want you to bear this in mind. Right now we have a Republican majority in Congress. And this is an important election year. And so it would be a prime time to rally the troops in a off election year in getting more protection for the Republicans and getting movement towards republicanism. And I truly believe that if Utah and those other states started stirring the pot, Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Alaska, if those states started stirring the pot saying, we want our suffrage back, we never ratified this, and then getting other states to reject it and move in that direction to where you now have a majority, or I should say enough, because when you have 13 states rejecting an amendment, the amendment is null and void. The amendment is not ratified. It loses its ratification status because they opened the door and allowed other states to start ratifying or actually changing from rejected to accepting. They have to allow states that accepted to reject. The door has to swing both ways. And I truly believe that if the states and the state legislatures push this issue, we would not have to repeal the 17th Amendment. It's just a matter of rejecting it. And so, because most people will argue, you know, how nefarious the 17th Amendment is. Well, here you go, folks. There's a constitutional path that I truly believe would push this door wide open, and actually we would have to renumber all of the subsequent amendments because the 18th would then become the 17th. It would just create this void. It's kind of like some big buildings, hotels or what have you, don't have a 13th floor. It just goes from 12 to 14. So anyway, this isn't a funny matter, what I am telling you is that this is a constitutional path forward in fixing the suffrage and taking back our Senate and taking it away from the globalists who have been running it for over a century now. That's right, for over a century. And so let me move forward and give you the other reason why every state would want to pick up the show, more specifically the red states, because you would probably care more. But when you look at the blue states, and California is a perfect example, go look at the map of California, the blue-red, you know, map of what counties are red and what counties are blue, and you'll find that California is really a red state, territorial, but not population-wise. So the question is, are we a democracy or are we a republic? And the other thing that you have to understand, because I stated this before, is this American republicanism that was created by our Constitution. So in the Constitution, there's this little thing in Article 4, Section 4 that states, the United States, I'm quoting, the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Nowhere in there do they say anything about democracy, right? A republican form of government. And so what does that mean? Well, republican means, in the basic definition, it means a representative government. However, the American Constitution, or I should say the U.S. Constitution, and our framers recognized dual sovereignty, kind of like the essence of Parliament, because the Parliament had two different houses. They had the House of Lords and they had the House of Commons. But both of those happened to be representatives of people. They were not representing and recognizing sovereignty of sub-elements of the Republic. And so what Sherman did in his compromise in the Constitution was brought forward the concept, and actually they loved it. Everybody loved it because it maintained the Confederacy and it gave validation towards the Confederacy and the sub-element sovereign governments within the Republic. Well, that's why each state is a republic in itself, and that's why we were guaranteed a republican form of government. That's why every state has counties. And so here's the question, and maybe I'll make this the weekly question until somebody can break this. Why is it that every state in the union, except for one, and they're violating the Constitution, and they're all violating it, but why is it that all states are bicameral legislative bodies? Why do they have bicameral legislative bodies? Any guesses? Because they modeled their states just like the U.S. Constitution. And that's why most every single state, at least all the constitutions that I've read of the states, acknowledge that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land. And here the Constitution clearly states that each state is supposed to be Republican in form. And no state actually speaks to or addresses this. So you know where the problem lies. The problem lies with Congress. Because Congress has failed to delineate what the American form of republicanism is and how a Republican form of government is to be implemented in the states. They have never provided a resolution or any type of legislation that would require the states to conform to this. It's just an ambiguous line that has been ignored. However, it wasn't ignored in the beginning because not every state in the original 13 states were bicameral legislative bodies. But guess what? As soon as the Constitution was ratified, every state in their constitutional ratification debates, and what I mean by the constitutional, state constitution ratifications. So each state went through and they redid their constitutions to align with this U.S. Constitution. And if I remember correctly, I believe Massachusetts did theirs in like 1801, 1803, something like that. Because John Adams spoke there, and I remember reading in the biography how John Adams was completely frustrated as he made an appeal to the state of Massachusetts why they would not allow Jews to openly and freely practice their religion. They had all sorts of encumbrances on freedom of religion in the state of Massachusetts, and they were not about to let that happen. And also in Washington's biography by Ron Chernow, Washington noted and spoke, you know, with his frustration why other states were not doing that as well. And he couldn't do anything. He just wished that they would change. But this was a state's issue. And if you understand my very first question of this radio show, does the Constitution guarantee religious freedom? No, not really. That's up to the states as far as religions go. You have the freedom of religious expression. You can express yourself religiously, but that doesn't mean you can build a building and set up, you know, an organization within the state, start tithing people and start a proselyting and going out and growing your flock and anything like that. States can actually regulate what's going on, and they consider that. And as a matter of fact, from the Second Awakening on, that has really been more of a trade of commerce than it has been other things. And I know people would like to probably debate that and argue that, but there is this perception that, and I can make a great point. If you just go to that website that I told you about in a previous show called the Circle of Protection and look at the signatories and understand what their mission is, there's no doubt in anybody's mind, at least not this host's mind, that those churches that have signed up and are a part of the Circle of Protection, they're not out for saving the souls of people. They're out making money and they're throwing their parishioners to the state for their temporal welfare. So let me get back to this guarantee clause and why this is important and why every state in the union needs to be broadcasting this, because you folks and every good constitution-loving person in America should understand that your county is not being represented, because in the beginning, counties were, and that's why counties are seats of government. And that's why counties are the ones that do the voting and everything else. Counties are the sub-states in the states. They're the sub-element of government. They are the sovereigns, and they have their own specific – they're not charters. They have their own specific rules and regulations of how they want to, you know, apportion and tax and so forth. And it changes from one county to the next. Therefore, the counties are supposed to be appointing and occupying the state senate. Therefore, the counties are supposed to be electing who they are apportioned, just like a state is apportioned their representation in the state body of legislation. So now if you think about this, just look at California and go count all those red counties again. And if you change the makeup of the California Senate from an apportion of population to county and Republican form of government, California Senate would actually instantly turn red. And as a matter of fact, the legislative body would actually swing from blue to probably purple, if not much closer to red than they would even like to think. And how dare you even think about taking away their democracy? I'm sorry, folks. Democracy is not guaranteed in our republic. What is guaranteed is republicanism, and especially the American form of a republican form of government. And with these two things, republicanism and the 17th Amendment, is these things right here, folks, are, I believe, steps in the right direction in reclaiming the republic. But Republic Review is the wholesale answer. And so I hope that you continue to join us here on the show to learn more about what we can do constitutionally in challenging these paradigms and reclaiming the republic. I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm out of here, and I'll be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for being with us.